Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten.
All right. Thank you for listening to the second episode of the podcast. We've waited for about 6 months since the first one, but we were waiting for the right occasion. And that occasion is we have a new president. Not the president you're thinking about. Our president, the important one. And he's been doing the job since January now, so he's probably starting to get used to it. It's Chris Adamski, and he's with us today. How do you, Chris?
Hey, you know, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
You're a family man. You have two boys, is it?
I have two teenage boys, yes.
One of whom we graduated, proficient, not so long ago.
We did, yeah. Last summer, he soloed and got Baba's autograph, and we're really proud of him for doing that.
And you have, you're gainfully employed. What possessed you to agree to become the president of the club?
I don't know, man. I was at the field and Chris Randall came up to me. He's like, "Hey, dude, you got to check your email." I'm like, "Why?" "Well, everybody just voted you in as president." I'm like, "Why?" But yeah, you know, I do have a full-time job, and this was kind of something I was doing on the side. I was doing memberships all last year, and now suddenly voted in as president. Like you said, I've been doing it since January. So,
and training, you're one of our fellow trainers.
Yeah. So I've been trying to do a lot for the club. You know, this hobby is taken me a lot of places in my life and made me very happy. So I figure I'd give back in one way or another. And it kind of ballooned from there. Somehow I'm now the president.
You've got planes to fly as well. I forgot to mention that. You've got to fly your own planes at some point.
At some point, yeah. You know, I feel really bad because some of the kids keep asking me like, "Hey, when are you going to bring such and such plane out to the field? When are you going to fly this or that?" And I'm like, you know, I'll try to bring it this weekend, but I'm spread so thin. Hard to find time.
Pushing back and starting in some 10 minutes. So I trust you're comfortable and enjoy the short flight with us this evening. Thank you.
I know, Brian, your predecessor made it look very easy for a long time. You took over in January. People don't realize, I don't think, I didn't realize how much goes into the day-to-day running of the club, the people you have to negotiate with, the people you have to please, the issues you have to address, the ideas you have to either go with or kind of explain why we're not going. There's a lot of work involved in being president of the club.
There sure is, and you're absolutely right. Brian Kelly, he along with, you know, all the rest of the board over the last several years have made things look so easy. You know, going into this, I'm like, you know, I don't know really what to do. And he's like, don't worry about it. And then getting into the role, I was like, wow, Brian, you had a lot on your plate. You did a lot for the club. And, you know, he did actually set things up so well that it is a lot easier than it could have been. He's done so many things over the last many years, 6 years he was president, to streamline things and to improve communications between us and the parks and with the members and stuff like that. So it is a whole lot easier than it could have been, but there's still a lot to do. I'm still like, how am I going to do all this? Where am I going to find time? And you're right. There's just a lot going on that we don't really realize from, you know, looking in from the outside.
And this is one of the larger, more successful clubs, you know, within the AMA. Oh, that's the AMA as well you have to deal with. That's another thing you have to
Yeah.
Since you took over and you've had to look into pretty much every area of what the club does, what do you think's, you know, going well, and what do you think, where are you directing your attention, or do you think you will be directing your attention over the coming months?
You know, I think there's a lot going on that we have. You know, one of the exciting things, to your point, we are a very active and very visible club. Not only to the AMA, but to like the King County parks and for everybody who just travels through Marymore constantly. We're out there, and we have a lot of events and we have a very strong youth presence, but we're still growing. So with all that comes a lot of challenges. There's so many people out there with so many great ideas, and we have to walk a fine line between making everybody happy, letting them enjoy the freedom of flight, but also doing it safely and responsibly and being good neighbors. So one of the areas of focus is trying to ensure that our club can really grow and grow well, but do it in the right way. We want to do it responsibly because we want to be here for a really long time. So we want to see the club grow, you know, grow our youth population even more. But at the same time, bring on new adult members and stuff like that. And how does everybody ensure that we're really here for the long run?
Yeah, that's like reflects where the hobby is going as a whole, it seems to me. You know, there's a general emphasis on getting youth coming in, new kinds of aircraft, new ways of flying, all this kind of stuff. What do you think is happening with the hobby as a whole? I mean, I go into Hobby Town these days and I see the build and repair side of things going down and the ready to fly sort of stuff coming up. Which is great for new people coming into the hobby, very easy to get into it, that sort of thing. But then again, the other thing is it's kind of de-emphasizing the traditional side of the hobby, which has been to design and build and fly airplanes.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny because, yeah, I mean, I've been in the hobby for a long time. I see all these trends coming. You know, I grew up building nitro balsa built planes. And then I had a point where I wasn't in the hobby so much. And then I came back. And everybody's like flying foamies, electric foamies, and not so much building. Now I'm starting to see that trend backwards again to people building more balsa and flying nitro and going back to the basics and the classics and flying four-channel airplanes in nitro and a lot of times electric as well, but going back to the basics. I don't really know where the hobby's going. But one of the really cool things is, you know, to your point, you know, you walk in a Hobby Town, there's a lot of foamies there. There's really, actually, there's no balsa kits that I've seen there in years. But by way of all of our swap meets, you know, the ones that we have in Monroe and a lot of the Facebook groups for the, like, PNW buy, sell, trade, people are able to snag some old school classic kits and you kind of see this revival of, hey, let's sit down and build a plane and get that flying.
That is great. The fact that there's a broad availability these days of pre-built balsa planes as well, that people who don't have the time perhaps to build from scratch also can, you know, relative. I mean, it may be, if you come to the hobby cold, it seems like it might be expensive, but it's actually not that expensive to fly planes that would have taken you months and months to build in the past.
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually one of them. I lost my patience to build balsa planes decades ago. I don't have the time to do it now. Nor the patience, of course, but like we were talking about, I have two teenage boys. where am I going to find time to build a balsa airplane right now? So I love the fact that I could just go out and buy an airplane and save a ton of time and just get up flying and just enjoy that part of the hobby.
All right, and the boys can fly your foamy ones rather than your very expensive balsa.
Yeah, that's true.
What are your favorite planes at the moment? I've seen you out the field with planes of all sizes and all powers, all types. What's your favorite plane at the moment?
So right now, and for the last year and a half, it's been a Bushmaster. So Extreme Flight Legacy Aviation Bushmaster. I have two of them. One's 100-inch electric, and the other is a 120-inch gasser, my very first gasser. And I love that plane to death. I can't get enough of either one of them. That's just my go-to. Yeah, I have other new planes that I've put together and flown a couple of times, but I just keep going back to the Bushy.
It's intimidating for you know, for somebody like me who I've never flown a plane that big, and to have that much money in the air at one time.
Yeah,
past performance with regard to trees and ground and stuff is a bit scary, but it actually flies really well, doesn't it? It looks like it flies really well, that big plane.
It's actually easier than anyone would think. And it's funny you bring that up. I actually let one of our youth members fly it on Saturday when I was out there. I actually buddy boxed that thing now on a new radio that I have. So I'm giving out free rides on Bushmasters. So if anybody wants to come out and fly a large scale gas airplane, hit me up and We'll take you up.
Oh, God, that'll get him hooked. Chris did that to me. He one day unexpectedly handled me the controls of his, maybe it was his Edge. So, you know, have a go, you know. Oh, my God, when you get over the terror of it, you think, that's fantastic. I need that, even though I wasn't qualified to get one. I had to go out and get one.
It's a slippery slope, man, you know.
What was you say would be one of your best days at the field? What would you count as a great day at the field? You know,
I actually just had one of those just this past weekend, where I was out there. Oh gosh, I think I got there about 8 o'clock in the morning. I didn't leave until about 3, but I was just there all day. And you know what's funny about that is I only flew maybe 4 times that day. My own airplanes for about 4 times. Because there were so many people there, so many awesome people to chat with. So I was chatting most of the time. We had a couple kids show up with their parents just randomly that they were walking by on the trail and said, hey, this looks fun. How do we get started in this? So I took them up on the club trainer and gave out 3 or 4 introductory flights that day. I did the buddy box on the Bushmaster and helped a couple other people get up flying. But it was just an all day thing of like, hey, Chris, I have a question with this, or hey, do you have time to help with that? And it was just so much fun, even though I didn't get a whole lot of flying in. But it's just the membership, you know, everybody just being there and collectively just having fun in the hobby is just, it's wild to see. It was really cool.
What, and I have to ask, what's your most spectacular bad day? What's an example of a crash that almost made you take up golf instead or something?
Oh, wow. Well, going back to the Bushmaster, I did unfortunately crash that thing, and I did a superb job of crashing that thing. I mean, that I crushed it straight into the ground. It was the most spectacular crash I've ever seen. I'll have to find some way of circulating the photos so people listening to the podcast can see it. But or everything in front of the canopy was just gone. But everything behind the canopy was perfectly intact. So all I needed to do is build it or buy a new fuselage, got it back flying fairly quickly. It was a bad day for sure. But, you know, we do what we do, and we get back flying.
Well, how many planes do you have at the moment, Chris? Be honest.
I have about 12 airworthy airplanes right now.
That's not too bad. That's not too bad.
not too bad. My wife would say otherwise, but not too bad.
Did you come home when you crashed the Bushmaster's crash my plane, and she has sort of, oh, you know.
We suddenly have more space.
terrain, pull up.
What do you find is your pet peeve? Do you have a pet peeve at the field? Do you say, I wish people wouldn't do
that? Oh, I don't really have a whole lot. As you know, hopefully, I don't know. I'm pretty easygoing. Thinking about that question with the field, I would say it's kind of in line with what I see with my teenage boys. You know, people not really cleaning up after themselves is probably my biggest pet peeve there. It's like, you know, enjoy the day, have some donuts, get a sandwich, get a pizza while you're there or whatever, build your airplanes. But don't leave your mess on the ground, because that, you know, we're right next to one of the major King County trail systems, and people see our mess. I don't want that. I don't want to see a mess.
We are, unlike a lot of clubs, we do have a number of neighbors and people we share the park with, don't we? You know, there's a constant, they keep the park so well groomed and everything. It does stand out if our field is any sort of blemishes at all.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We have a lot of neighbors.
You're not talking about people going out and making sure they pick up all the fragments of their airplanes. You are talking about trash mostly and discard.
One thing people are really good at is picking up the fragments of their airplanes. I have noticed that, you know, picking up every little wing rib on the runway. I really do appreciate that, but it's everything behind the tables that we need to work on.
Well, Chris, we've spoken about the importance of the youth side of the club. When did you start flying?
Yeah, so I started flying when I was about 11 or 12. I was born and raised down in Southern California, and we had a hill behind my house, perfect slope flying hill. One day, my dad and I went up there with a glider. So once we mastered the glider, it was kind of a slippery slope from there, and I just started building balsa nitro airplanes and got involved with flying down at Mile Square Park down in Fountain Valley. Kept building, and flying, and crashing too a lot, as we all do. But that's where I got my start. So that was back in early 90s.
Anybody is welcome to join in our board meeting. That may not be the best way for them to find out what goes on. You know, it can be a little bit. Do you have a message for the membership as a whole about how you would like them to see the club, the way it's going, your presidency, what you're trying to do with
it? Yeah, I just want to reemphasize, I want to run things in a partnership with everybody else. We're all partners here and we all want to do one thing, which is fly. So what I want to do is just do this together. So I want everybody to have a voice. I want everybody to come at us with ideas and see what we could do to implement those ideas in the best possible way. Do this all together and fly. So I do want to open things up, you know, to your point. Board meetings could get a little dry sometimes, but we do have some things in mind that will bring more members together more often. Virtual member meetings and do some more events, some more little happy hours here and there, and just get everybody to together.
Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you know? You're Papa. Fly right.